peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us today on this Friday session of Abounding Grace, and we're concluding our study today with Abram. This is such an important study. Typically, we have gospel talk time, and we'll come back to that next week. But today, I wanted to conclude this study because I think it's such an important study for us to consider today as we contrast this great life of Abram with what is going on in our country and in our times. And what was interesting is that typically, we expect blessings to be for the here and now. And as we look at Abram and we look at his life, things didn't seem to correspond at all. God comes and makes these grand blessings and promises to Abram. But what Abram learned was they weren't for this life. The best life wasn't now. And so God comes and he gives seven blessings in verse 2 and 3. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so it was all focused on what God would do. But the interesting thing that we looked at, and we contrast all these things, is the Lord would make him a great nation, but the Canaanites filled that land and in that land that he had promised. It was impossible because Sarah was barren. All the families of the earth would be blessed from this one man, Abram. These things seem impossible. They're beyond reason, they're beyond evidence, they're beyond possibility. And then you compound it with the real difficulty here, and we looked at this yesterday, that these blessings weren't received in this life by Abram. He enters the land, he has no home there. He never saw his descendants multiplied. He didn't receive all these things in this life. God called him to go on a long pilgrimage through this life to receive these blessings by faith. And so he makes all these similar promises to us: the resurrection, eternal life, the promise of a smiling face because our sins are forgiven when we die and we go to be with him, the promise of a home that is not of this world. And he says, leave everything in this life of security and follow me. We need his grace to do that. But we looked at yesterday, we go out and we find that life is hard. There are constant trials and temptations. And though we are often desperately trying in America to have our best life now, because that's what we've been taught, we can have the American dream, we could have our homes, we can build our mansions, we can do all of these things. We often find, however, in reality, that these grand blessings that God has promised don't seem to correspond with the life in the here and now. I wonder how many of those 30,000 people who attend these sort of therapy-driven churches that treat God as sort of a therapy icon in the sky really just go there for an hour of therapy but recognize they can't live that. That's an ideal they can't live. You see, it's a delusion. What Abraham learned, what Abraham found, is that these blessings aren't in this life. Sure, God provides, God takes care, and there's a life of joy for the Christian. And we can enjoy all these things that he gives. But the fact is, he had to go through this life in what? A tent. He was in constant opposition and in much turmoil. And if we go out and as we go, if we're honest with ourselves, often Satan's lies are easier to believe. You can do this yourself, he says. Why would a loving God who has made those kinds of promises really put you through the things that you're going through? And at the end of the day, we're constantly being pressed to turn our eyes away from the hope that is set before us. Notice that's a hope set before us. Today's Christianity wants to say, no, it's now. What did Abraham believe? It's always the message of the gospel, my friends. He believed Christ. He believed in Christ. The promise to Abraham and his seed was Christ. The promise of the land and the heavenly land was the city of and builder, whose builder and maker was God in Christ. And he was willing to count the cost for that. That's what Jesus was saying. If you want to follow me, count the cost. When someone came to Jesus and said, I'll follow, he said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We look at that. You know what that means? Do you know what I'm requiring of you, says Jesus? If you want to follow, you're going to lose your whole life. In this life, you will not have an enduring home. Peter says that. We have no enduring home in this life. We look for the world to come. And what we have pictured in Abram was that he was willing to pitch his tent in the land because he was patiently waiting for another land, as Hebrews tells us. His name would become great in the one who would come from his line, who would have the name above every name. He rejoiced to see the day of Christ, and he saw it by faith. Looking ahead, and he was glad, and Jesus said that in John 8. He looked ahead by faith. He believed that in his seed, who is Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Galatians 3 tells us the seed was Christ. It was Jesus who fulfills these promises. And Abraham had to wait for these as he traveled through the land by faith, living in tents, in constant opposition. Jesus would make all of these blessings so, and they would ultimately be realized in the new heavens and the new earth. Abraham believed in the gospel promises, the same things that a Christian now believes. You see, my friends, what is true of Abram has become true of us. We are Christ's sons and sons of Abram, sons of the living God. And that means that we too are heirs of the promises. But until that day, when we receive our land and our new name and we see Christ face to face, we have to live as pilgrims. We should not seek to have our best life now. We should not seek to store up our riches and treasures here on this earth where Jesus said moths and rust destroy, but store them up in heaven, because that's when the best life will come. That's when we will be totally healed. That's when we will have new bodies. These people who are doing all these faith healings and things now are trying to press us into the future kingdom. All of that is future in the new heavens and the new earth. We press forward in now what is called a spiritual warfare as pilgrims, leaving our mark of faith everywhere where we go. That's what's left before us today with Abram. When God's superabounding grace comes, it transforms, even through our weaknesses. And we see that in Abram. But that kind of blessing the Lord determines to give unconditionally always changes things in one's life. What do we read about Abram? In verse 4, we read of chapter 12, "So Abram departed. He did forsake all to follow. He did deny himself. He did leave all because God was determined to bless. That's the sole reason, not because of Abram." And this picture we have here is that of a pilgrimage. Verse 7, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your seed I will give this land.'" He understood the seed was Christ. He understood the land of Canaan was but a picture of the eternal land that God had promised. So notice the language in verse 6. When he came to Canaan, now listen to this, he passed through the land. Verse 8, he pitched his tent. He was a pilgrim. We are sojourners and pilgrims. Abram understood that this land was not his home. He was only a stranger and a sojourner passing through. And notice that language, he passed through the land. And what drove him? The wonderful promises of God. You know, we often hear today the purpose-driven life. And we see on church signs, come do these 40 days of purpose and do these purpose-driven. It's just a fad. Most likely that's run its course. You see, purposes aren't bad. Purposes are good when they're given, of course, in Scripture. But if we're driven by purposes, everything ultimately turns to our performance. What drove Abram? What drove the great Abraham? God's promises. Because they were then dependent upon the Lord to fulfill. Do you see the difference? We're always running up against a religion of man and a religion that is purely gives glory to God. It's a promise-driven life because promises are dependent upon the Lord to fulfill them. Abram believed these promises. He learned that if the things were dependent upon his own purposes, he would be an idolater. But when God made promises, he believed, and that drove him to a response. It's a promise-driven life, my friends. One more thing to notice here. Everywhere he went, he made an altar to the Lord. Verse 7, there he built an altar to the Lord. Verse 8, at Bethel and Ai, there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Abram passed through as a pilgrim, and he died. But he died in faith, not having received the promises, but looked for them afar off. Again, future best life. But generations of people would pass through those same places that Abraham passed. We could hear the discussion. Someone passed through here years ago who called upon Yahweh, the God of heaven and earth. He left behind him permanent fixtures of worship, testifying to his great faith in Christ. See, all of this makes us realize today the great grace of God in the gospel. What have we learned today? You have two sorts of lives set before you. We've learned this all week. One that is purpose-driven, the American religion that lives for the here and now. It's a false religion. It does not want to deny itself, but it clings to false securities and false hopes and is attempting to reach for God's blessing by their works, in pursuit of making a name that will last. Then there's the life of Abram presented to us today, which was promise-driven. A sinner who recognized that he would never free himself from his sin and his gods in Ur of the Chaldeans, these things that he loved, his commitments to family and land and prosperity and success, who had come to see that he was totally at the disposal of God's grace to save. When he learned that his only hope of deliverance was Jesus Christ, when that grace came to this sinner and blessed him unconditionally, it was life-transforming. This justified sinner went forward in the newness of life, understanding that he was a pilgrim who lived by God's promises and left an enduring mark of faith on all of those who came after him. Do you? Do you know this Jesus? Do you have this freedom? What are you searching for in your Christianity? You won't get your best life now, but you have these promises for the future. Sure, you can live washed and renewed and in the joy of this comfort. But we must live together as pilgrims until that day, with this grand hope set before us, looking unto Jesus Christ before us, who is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us, 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.